This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
I'm sorry. Are you sure this is the podcast you were looking for? Really? Okay then. Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast. Every week, our sad little team discusses gaming in various forms, make stupid wisecracks, and generally embarrass themselves quite well with their so-called expert opinions. Remember, you did this to yourself.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And so, what's been up with you lately?
Well, I got into a video cast. It's several years old. I've heard about it in the past and never really looked into it until just recently, and I'm glad I did, because, you know, the thought was, it's D&D, and you get to watch them play D&D. How entertaining is that going to be? If you're not playing or running, I just didn't see the entertainment value until I finally sat down and watched it, and you gotta believe me, this is one of the most entertaining shows I've ever seen. Even the stupid episode where they're just shopping. The whole episode is nothing but shopping.
Okay.
It's entertaining. It's a bunch of voice actors playing D&D. And the Dungeon Master is awesome. It's called Critical Role. You can find it on YouTube. They're in their second campaign now. But one of the things that resonated with me was what the Dungeon Master said. You know, he was talking about how it's not the DM's job, it is the DM's job to run the game, but his biggest job is to give the players the opportunity to be heroes. You know, you're not out there to kill the players. You're not out there to, you know, make their life miserable or whatever. Your job is to give them opportunities. And yes, that means they could quite easily die.
Sure.
But you're giving them the opportunity to do something reckless, to do something that, you know, in normal life, they would have never considered to be heroes.
Okay.
And I agree with that because, well, last week we talked about how it was the players or it was the DM's job to entertain the players. And after hearing that, I have to agree, yes, entertain your players is important, but it's more important to give them those moments where they got to shine like a beacon and that makes a memory. They will remember that moment for as long as they live.
Sure.
That's all.
And I think this all actually, they don't actually oppose each other, though.
No.
I can create a story with memorable characters in it and whatnot, like we were talking about last week. Mm-hmm. And just through the sheer nature of the game, I'm giving players the opportunity to be heroic in their own choices. I throw them into they come into a dungeon, they run into a group of monsters. They can just do the same old usual attack, whatever, blah, 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 and get through it. Fine. Or not. That's up to them. I've put them in a hazardous situation as part of the story. If they choose to do something super unique, that's them. Mm-hmm. So I would say just the sheer nature of being a dungeon master or a game master is giving players the opportunity to be heroic. They have to choose to be heroic. I have a couple examples here.
Yeah.
First of all, going back to our Pathfinder campaign that we used to be doing.
Okay.
You're running a game and you had this massive swarm of rats come rushing at us. Right. I mean, there were thousands of them. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh no, what are we to do? We had very little time to act. And yet our sorceress threw out the spells. I don't remember the name of the spell.
Ivard's Black Tentacles.
Okay. Well, these black tentacles, poof, they pop out of the ground and just start snatching up rats in massive swaths and saved the group by stopping the vast majority of the rats, if not all of them. I can't recall.
Oh, it killed all of them because the spell creates an individual tentacle for every creature within its area of effect. So everyone, all 100,000 rats got a tentacle of its own that reached up, grabbed it, and killed it.
Wow.
It was just like, boom, done.
So
neutralized a hazard, a major hazard.
Right. That was her thinking outside of the box, using her tools, and being heroic. Where the rest of us were thinking more along the lines of, should we use fire, try and circle the, you know, circle up and, you know, protect ourselves that way or whatever, and we would just been surrounded until the fire went out, or fireball, what can we use that was not going to kill us too? And she just, bam, took care of it. Gone. But as another example, I've mentioned before, Feng Shui game, I believe you were running.
Yeah.
And we're battling mooks in a big, huge warehouse on the docks. And there's bay doors coming in, bay doors going out. One goes out onto this big pier and whatnot. Anyway, we had a killer was the archetype. And yeah, she was not a very killer. Her idea was she got down behind cover, and because this is what her character would do. And her character was very stoic, and she'd pull up her sniper rifle and shoot one guy. Or shoot at one guy and then hide down behind cover. And then she'd pop back up and shoot at another one when it was her turn. And that was what she was doing. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, when it was my turn, my masked Avenger, who was half nuts, comes riding in on top of a runaway forklift, going full speed through the freaking warehouse. Don't ask how it got started don't ask how he got on top of it. He's just there with a submachine gun in each hand, spewing bullets to either side, just cutting down mooks left and right. And it heads straight out towards the pier, and just as it's about to jump, you know, run off into the water, he flips off of it, lands, and that was his action. So her action, she shoots one guy. I'd cut down dozens. And who remembers what she was doing? Hell, most of the people didn't remember she was there.
Yeah.
My character, that action, just that one thing, be remembered for years. Mm-hmm. Because I took that opportunity to play my character, to do something interesting and fitting with his, you know, she would argue, and she did. Well, I was playing my character as he is. Your character sucks then. I gave her assigned freaking homework after that. Go watch The Killer with Chow Yun-Fat, made by John Woo. Just go watch that movie in its original Chinese with subtitles. You know what she went and did? She did get a Chow Yun-Fat movie. She got The Replacement Killers. Anyway, so she wasn't very good at listening. That's not the point. She just, yeah. Anyway, my point being, though, is that it's not just about the GM or DM giving the players the opportunity to be heroic. No, they have that every single time they walk into an adventure. You have every moment an opportunity to be heroic in whatever action you take. If you choose not to do that, that's not on the game master.
Right. But the whole point was, is last week when we were talking, we said it was the GM's job or DM's job to entertain the players.
I agree with
and
that.
I was just adding to that, you know, because we never mentioned, you know, that part of the job is to make them feel heroic, let them do things that they normally wouldn't do because it's outside their way of thinking. But now you're giving them the opportunity to do this.
Hmm.
So I was just bringing that up. That's why I brought this up. It's just, you know, I thought it needed to be said.
Okay, cool.
So anyhow, what do you got on tap for today?
I don't know. Why don't we talk about our fetishes?
Okay.
And by that, I mean that cool little action figure I bring sometimes to role-playing games.
Action figure?
Yeah, I've got that one that's a knight that I'll bring sometimes. It's an old D&D back in the early 80s. Right. They made those action figures for D&D, and I have that knight one. I bring that sometimes when I'm playing my knight because it's a visual representation of my character because we don't do miniatures.
Well, actually, I'm trying to get miniatures.
And
that was one of the things I got from Critical Role is how helpful having miniatures and a big mat can be to helping people, you know, figure out where they're going to locate themselves in this scenario. Because trying to keep it all in your head when you've got a few players isn't too hard. But when you've got, like, they've got eight players plus a hunter or a ranger's pet, plus, it gets to be a little harder, so they've got to start putting in the figures everywhere, plus NPCs, etc.
And all the monsters.
It gets to be quite stressful for the game master.
Oh, I'm sure. And
so, I've got a placemat. I'm trying to get a few more, and I'm going to start collecting miniatures and models to use on the placemat to help, you know.
Yeah. Well, my sweetie and I have, we went and ordered miniatures. We've got them. We just haven't painted them.
Hmm.
I've got a halfling barbarian that has a war pig.
Yeah, I know.
For him out. So I think I was looking at ordering a custom made one because I don't like the stands that came with the ones we have.
Yeah.
So there's a site that you can order custom designed miniatures. You can change the face, you can change the hairstyle, everything. What they're wearing, what weapon they have, what stance they're in. They're pricey, but it might be worth it in the long run.
Well, it's just the whole way he uses them, and the maps he draws are really intricate. I mean, it's impressive.
Very cool.
So, yeah, that's what's getting me back into, you know, painting figures and miniatures. And so you were talking about models.
Yes. Well, the point I wanted to talk about this week, and I know we don't normally do 2 weeks in a row on the same topic, but yeah, it's episode 69. I had to go with the fetish joke. Anyway, I couldn't come up with a better joke for MMOs. Sorry. Anyway, the thing is, so many times you got people that'll just come to an adventure and they want to play the game and whatnot. And that's great. They have a description of their character on their character sheet. Maybe the game master will have them describe their character at the start of the adventure, you know, when everyone starts playing together. But beyond that, no one really gets into the meat of what a character looks like, let alone the player keeping it in their mind what they look like.
Right.
Now we talked about, you know, memorable stuff earlier. We talked about, you know, making these adventures memorable. Well, making a character memorable requires having something tangible, not just a description, on a sheet. I mean, I could tell you what my old paladin looked like. I mean, he was a little pale, just a little over 6 foot, moderately bulky build because it was, you know, strength score.
Yeah.
Long blonde hair, blue eyes. I can imagine his face to this day. You know, slightly bushy eyebrows, things like that. Just little things about him because he wasn't just blonde hair, blue eyes, 6 foot two. You know, whatever the weight was, I don't remember at the time. I think I had him like 180, but that'd been pretty thin for a bulky dude. Anyway, point is, instead, I've got a freaking action figure.
Mm-hmm.
I had a miniature for him years ago. I don't have it anymore. Those disappeared with mom's stuff years and years ago. But I've got this action figure. And if people want to know what my, you know, when they go, what's the knight look like? Punk. There he is. And so that gives them something to look at. It's not perfect, but it's something tangible to put into their minds, the, you know, general look of the armor and helmet and things like that, so that it helps better when you're, as when we're role playing, it's all in our mind, right? Everybody individually, including the game master, has a picture of what's going on and who's in the game all up in their head. You can use miniatures and maps and all that all you want, but it all comes down to what's in your head.
Right.
And if somebody else in the group has the, they may have a completely wrong idea of what your character looks like, and that might actually later cause problems with, well, I thought your character looked like this, and it takes away from the overall immersion into the game. And so that's why I was saying you need to have that little fetish for your character. Maybe it's an action figure. Maybe it's a miniature, which you custom painted or had somebody else painted, or maybe it's not painted at all. Who cares? Just something that this is what my character looks like. That's my character right there. See him, know him, love him. Or like our mom used to do, she drew every single one of her characters, not just the character, but also their horse. And often the character on the horse, because she wanted to be able to, you know, plop, there's my character. And she knew what they looked like. She took what was in her head, put it on paper with colored pencils, because that was her medium. And then nobody had questioned. Bam, that's what my character looks like right there. And that got our aunt to try and draw her characters. And I don't know if you drew any of yours. I thought you did.
Oh, I drew most of mine, yeah.
I tried, but I was more of a, you know, hey, I'd rather just, you know, buy a physical representation. I liked miniatures or action figures or whatever. Because, you know, like I said, action figures, you know, they're not going to be perfect because they're mass marketed things. They don't know what your character looks like. But you can find a really cool action figure and go, hey, that kind of fits with what I had in mind for my character. Maybe it's a sci-fi game or whatever. And you find a cool Star Wars knockoff character, because there's lots of knockoff Star Wars action figures out there. Boom. That's what my character looks like. Perfect.
Well, I think it should be the best thing for most players would be to have multiple forms, because having the miniature is great, but it's really hard to get a picture of what the character's like or looks like from that little blob of lead.
Sure.
So have the figure just as a physical representation of where you are on the map, and then have an artist draw your character. If you're not artistically inclined, I'm sure you can find somebody who will help put your character, you know, draw a picture of your character for you. Yes, it might cost you some money, because artists shouldn't have to work for free.
True.
But it's worth it. If they can draw a picture of your character that just really sells it for you, then it's worth it.
Yeah. And towards that, I would say Fiverr is the perfect option for people in that regard. Mm-hmm. If they don't know somebody on DeviantArt or whatever, if you go to Fiverr, which is FIVERR.com, mm-hmm. I've used them in the past to like make the, you know, that mostly hairless bear, which is the avatar for my website.
Right.
Use it for things like that. Well, that was drawn by an artist from Fiverr. It cost me $11.
Cool.
Because I wanted it a little more customized and colored. Woo.
Yes.
Had it in about a week.
But you're supporting an artist.
Absolutely.
And I'm all for that.
Now, some people are going to say, well, you know, what if people don't have money? You know what?
It doesn't have to be perfect.
No.
Get out a pencil and just sketch what your character looks like.
Well,
hell, you want an idea of what a character's like? Watch the read the webcomic. I'm drawing a blank on it. I can't believe I'm forgetting the name of it.
Order of the Stick?
Yes, Order of the Stick. It's nothing but stick figure characters, but as you read the characters, or as you read the comic, you get, you know, an idea of what they're like. Even though the characters aren't really, you know, well designed, it's enough.
Well,
and that's all that it needs.
My point, though, is that
professional.
You don't, you're not using these for commercial purposes. So right. If you absolutely have no money and you just want a picture that you can throw down on your character sheet or with your character sheet, that's what DeviantArt is for. You go to DeviantArt, you look around the website, there's thousands of wonderful artists there that have drawn many, 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 many figures. And you can go, hey, that looks awesome, and it looks like what I had in mind for my character, and I'm not going to use it for commercial purposes, so I will print that out for my character sheet. Unless, of course, the artist says, no, absolutely no copying or whatever, which is kind of hard to do on the internet, but whatever. It's a way to go.
Yeah.
And in fact, the software my sweetie and I used to make our characters for Pathfinder, it had the ability to import pictures and print them out in the little character image box. That right there, that's all you need.
Uh-huh.
Now, I prefer, like I said, something a little more tangible, because a picture is one thing, but characters change over time.
Right.
So, different armor, different weapons, things like that. So really, when it comes right down to it, having miniatures that you can take the weapon out of their hand and put a different weapon in their hand, that sort of thing. Or miniatures that you can repaint if need be, if they've got a completely different look now.
Mm-hmm.
Or, buy a different miniature and in a different pose with a different weapon and maybe different armor or outfit and paint it there. Then you can use as needed. Because
mm-hmm.
miniatures are not expensive.
Oh.
Paint is ridiculously cheap.
That is true.
Where the problem lies, it is in actually doing it.
It's not that hard.
It's not. But for most people, getting down to that intricate... when you looked at our mom's miniatures, if you got in close and looked at the eyes were colored.
Mm-hmm.
Within, you know, white and then the little... you know, dot for the colored eye and all that. She used single hair brushes sometimes.
Well, I watched her paint one of them, and it was a larger figure. Mm-hmm. So she used the end of a toothpick. She'd get that toothpick, you know, and just put a little tiny drop on it, and that's where she'd put the white in with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'd use like a safety pin and get a little drop of black on there and put a little black dot in there.
Now, see, for me, I don't need the detail, you know, the armor is this color and the pants are this color and yada yada, the hair and all that. For a figure, as long as it's, you know, close, I can do the hair and whatnot and just give it a bronze wash over it to kind of, you know, like one I painted in a bronze and then gave it a black wash over it to kind of make it look antiqued.
Yeah.
It fucking worked great. Looked great, almost no work required. I had it done in an hour or so.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to go into the level of detail that everybody else was doing, but it worked for me. And
exactly.
The main thing is just so that there's something there.
Well, and again, like you just said, to each his own. Everybody has their level of commitment towards setting up what their character looks like and, you know, the physical representation of it.
Right.
And there's just, it adds to the experience, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
Far too many people are just like, you know, bitching and complaining because, well, they can't get into it. Well, the reason you're not getting into it is because you're not putting out the effort to get invested in it.
Right.
And this is one of the ways to do that. It's actually a really easy way to do that.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you can sit down there and you can write up this really lavish backstory and really detailed descriptions and just write up page after page after page on your character and build it up in your mind, and that could work great. And everybody else in the group is like, oh, that's that female elf with the bow?
Yeah.
Or you could have your figure there painted, or an action figure that you found, let's say an action figure from The Hobbit. Who was that? Evangeline Lilly played the female elf in that. I don't remember the character's name because she wasn't in The Hobbit and never should have been in the movie anyway. But I'm sure somewhere you might be able to find an action figure for her and go, yeah, bam, there's my character. And so now they've got something to work off of. Not just elf, female, bow. No, female elf, bow. Here's her hair color, that sort of thing. You can, hey, action figures, if you have the right paints, you can repaint them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like that she had red hair? Change it.
I remember one game I was playing. This one lady, she wanted to play, and she came to the game with a Barbie doll, and she had taken sculpting clay and extended the ears.
Oh, nice.
She had changed the hair color, made it almost rainbow hair color, changed the eye color, crafted this robe for her elven mage. I mean, she did all these cool things. She took a branch and built a staff for her. It wasn't extremely, you know, ornate, but for, you know, a little twig, it was pretty badass.
So,
and what pissed me off was the first thing that happened, she set it down and people like, you brought a Barbie doll? You could see that crestfallen look in her face.
Wow.
And I had to tell the other player to knock it off because that was bull.
Yeah.
She spent hours, if not weeks, on this. And this dick ruined it all in 1 second.
Fireball flinging Barbie.
Yeah, well.
That's kind of awesome.
In the adventure, you could tell she did not forget that comment.
Oh, did she harm
because him? Because when he... No, he's getting mauled by two, I think there were two ogres.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the party is dealing with the big baddie, and he got jumped by two ogres. She didn't turn around and help him. She had the perfect opportunity to take him out. She didn't. He survived, but only just.
Wow. Now that's a little bit of, you know, player knowledge crossing over with character knowledge, and that's not really appropriate. Funny, but not really appropriate.
Well, he never once called out for help.
Okay.
He was behind her.
Okay.
So she had every right to not notice that this was going on. Just because the DM says this is happening doesn't mean her as a character would be able to hear it or see it. She's concentrating on the big baddie.
Yeah. Well, sounds reasonable. Don't make fun of the Barbie doll.
Well, and the thing was, is I was impressed with her, you know, the amount of effort she put into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying she was a great player, but at least she put out an effort. She tried very hard in everything she did.
Right. And that sounds...
I'm sorry, I'd rather have 100 of those players than somebody who can do all these cool voices, who does all this other cool shit, and then doesn't put out any effort, who doesn't really try. It's just, you know, same old, same old.
Well, yes, true. But I would say if they're putting out voices and they're doing that, then they are trying, aren't they?
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Somebody who's a talented role player but doesn't really put out the effort isn't as valuable as somebody who's not a good role player but really tries.
Or isn't a good role player yet.
Yet.
My argument is that everybody can be a good role player. Everybody. They just need the opportunity to learn and people helping them to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the guy saying, "You brought a Barbie doll?" That's not helping.
Not in the slightest.
If he had said, "Wow, that's cool. What's up with this? You know, what made you think to do this? This is really kind of unique." Completely different way of saying it. Not in a negative fashion at all.
Right.
But asking, "Hey, where'd you come up with this? I would never have thought, if I had a female elven character, to go, hey, let's go buy a Barbie doll and modify that."
Well, and I know why she did it. She had, no money whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Single mom, three kids. She's got, welfare to help support her. She's working like 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that little bit of time she got to actually game, that was her quality time. And the fact that she had a Barbie and she made use of what she had, I'm sorry, you don't have a whole lot of time, lady, and you put all that effort into this, you can come to my game anytime.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, so have we wrung everything out of that we can, or you have any other thoughts?
Well, it's mostly just don't be afraid to try something new. So maybe you're not a good artist. I've seen people who sculpted. They took clay and they built a character out of clay. I've had people take, just little toys they found and use those. This is my character. It was for, I think it was for a Shadowrun game, or maybe it was for a cyberpunk.
Yeah.
But they found one of these homie dolls in the little machine, and that was their street punk character.
Well, I have two thoughts on that, two options. I've seen somebody make a character out of Lego.
Yeah.
And I have an old friend from the Bachelors of the Apocalypse. He used to get pornographic magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't read them for the articles. No, he bought them to draw, because he would lay down thin paper over it, over a girl in a position, in a particular pose that he liked. He also did this with comic books, and he would trace out their figure and the designs, the broad strokes.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'd transfer that over to his sketch pad and draw them with their armor or their whatever outfit that they were wearing.
Yeah, but most of those poses they don't really fit,
He made it work.
I'm sure he did.
And it was actually kind of cool, because I would be like, wow, that's pretty bitchin'. And he was like, he traces. What do you mean he traces? He plops down a penthouse in front of me. He was like, yep, he traces. But he then adds too. And it worked. Now, I will say most of the better poses would come out of comic books, but also a lot of those figures are, as we completely out of proportion.
Right.
And totally didn't look right. So we're talking late 80s, early 90s here. Not a whole lot of airbrushing going on in the penthouse. So at that point. So you were getting actual decent figures. So not completely out of proportion stuff, except for we won't go there. Actually, we can on this podcast. Bazongas, boobs, large, yes. So he would have to adjust down. You remember when our buddy who would do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So just ask him, the wife. Anyway, guess that's about it.
Sure.
Till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you actually listened to the whole episode? I'm frankly shocked, and have lost a little bit of respect for you, to be honest. But since you are obviously a glutton for punishment, why don't you drop by our new website, scormy.com? It can't be a much bigger time waster than this podcast has been, can it? Actually, yes, it totally can, but check it out anyway.